Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf Chaf Zayin. We find ourselves back on Chaf Amud Beis. We're finishing up the second parak of the Masechta. We'll do that right now. And then, God willing, we'll start the third parak this morning. Thank the Lubman Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learning Zechon Ishmael Slosman and Zaltzman. One little piece of Gemara that we left over for ourselves is going on a scenario. Take a look back at the Mishnah Chaf Amud Aleph. And you'll see the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah says, "Maybe get me dinas yam." A person is delivering a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. The Amud b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So he's got to say the four words of b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. They're the magic words that they're not magical, but they're the words that allow the woman the get to be effective. So lo yisas ishta. So the deliverer of the get, because he said those words and because he was helping, aiding, and abetting this woman from being divorced. So therefore, he can't marry the woman. Now, the woman obviously is a divorced woman, but he can't marry her. If, however, he comes over from, not if, but also, in addition, if he comes over from somewhere else, from far away, and he goes over to the woman, he says, either your husband's dead, mace, haraktiv, I killed him, harganuhu, we killed him, lo yisas ishto, so then one is not allowed to marry his wife. Sounds like from the Mishnah that he's not allowed to marry the wife, but his testimony would be effective. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haraktiv lo sinase. No, if he says Haraktiv, so then he's not allowed to marry her, but he lo sinase ishto, haragnuhu tenase ishto. But if he says that we killed, so then not only is she allowed to marry, but he is allowed to marry herself. That's the Mishnah that we saw back on Chafei Madal. Which now the Gemara is going to, and remember yesterday we had a machlokas in the Gemara, machlokas in the Gemara, how exactly can you accept the testimony of somebody who says, I killed your husband? Now, that person's a Rasha. And how in the world would that work? So that discussion we had at the very end of our shir yesterday. We're continuing on the Gemara. We're on the, we're towards the top of Chav Hamadalf, we're at the two dots, Haraktiv Harganu Tinase, Maishna Haraktiv, U Maishna Harganuhu. Gemara asked such a simple question. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if I says I killed your husband, so then he can't marry her. But if he just simply said Harganu, we killed him, so then Rabbi Yehuda says that's fine. Meaning he'd be allowed to marry her as well. So what's the difference? It's a pretty straightforward question. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Ba'omer Ani Aisi Im Hargav. So Rabbi Yehuda explained, this is, not to be confused, this is Rabbi Yehuda the Amara explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. It's what the statement was, is not that I was participating in the murder of your husband, but wrong place, wrong time, meaning I was there. So the Gemara says, V'hatayin, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, that's a Tosefta, Amar Lola Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Balista Mechad. I understand. There was an incident once with a group of bandits, Shiyatza Leharig B'migizas Kaputkiya, and they were about to be killed. The Amar Lohem, L'chu Imru La, Le'esha Shimon Ben Cohen, and he eragged as Ba'ala B'chnisa Sololod. Okay, so they're about to be killed. He realizes that these are going to be some of his last words he's going to say on this earth. So he wants to make sure that reports get back to this woman, the wife of a man, that he was the one responsible for killing the husband. Okay, two different versions of whether I entered Lod or he entered Lod, but either way, in other words, his last words were, before he was about to be executed by a court, make sure that the wife of Shimon ben Cohen knows that I'm the one who did the act of murder. And he married his wife. So they say to him, what do you mean? No, he didn't say that he participated in the murder. He just simply said, I was together there. So the Gemara says, V'halistim katani. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Brisa describes them as being bandits. Bandits usually are people, not just thieves, but real rough thieves, meaning people who not only will steal, but will commit murder in order to steal. So the Gemara says, Shenidfas ayidei listios. The Gemara says, no, that's what they accused him of, but he wasn't really part of the gang. Again, just wrong place, wrong time. V'hayyata lehari kitani. The Gemara says, okay, but he was about to be executed by the Beis Din. So the Gemara says that wasn't Beis Din. The Gemara says that wasn't operating under Jewish law, that was operating under some other legal system. They're not as exacting in terms of when they execute, meaning if they think you're guilty, if there's enough circumstantial evidence, you were there at the time, So that would be enough justification for them to go in and to kill you. But the Gemara says, but the so basically we're back to our original answer. The basic difference between the case of Haraktiva, I killed your husband, versus Harganu, is in the case of Harganu, he's not saying we killed your husband. He's saying I was there at the time when your husband was killed. So under such circumstances, so he can marry the wife. Okay, we start the next mission. We're in the middle of Chafemet Beis. Hachacham she'asar se'isha b'nedar abala. Okay, so let's say a woman goes over to a chacham and says to the chacham, look, I made a neder. It's really causing friction between me and my husband. I need you to be matter the neder. Okay, so we'll get to Masechta Nedarim, and we'll discuss in detail in terms of a Pesach, an opening that a chacham could find in order to release a woman from her neder. But in this particular case, the chacham said to her, look, I'm really sorry. Yeah, there's nothing I could do. Sorry. And because of that, she got a divorce from her husband. Husband couldn't take it anymore, and she got a divorce. Says the Mishnah, Harezeh lo yisa'ena. The Chacham now should not marry her because he was the cause of the divorce. Now again, I say cause, meaning we're not blaming the Chacham. He did the right thing. He couldn't find a Pesach. He couldn't find an out for the neder. The woman had the neder now. She was saddled with this neder, and her husband no longer wanted to be with her. So I say the Chacham's at fault. I'm not blaming the Chacham. He did the right thing, but he was the cause for the divorce. Therefore, says the Mishnah, he shouldn't marry her. Okay, notice I said carefully, he shouldn't marry her. What if he did? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss that. Similarly, let's say she did mian in front of this chacham, but he was part of Beis Din. Or let's say she did chalitza in front of the chacham. So either way, he was part of a Beis Din, that's okay. Meaning if after court was adjourned, so, you know, they're hanging out outside the court, and I know this is going to sound strange, and one of the judges goes over to her and says, look, you know, I'm really sorry that, you know, it didn't work out with you and whoever, yeah, correct. If you're interested, you know, maybe, you know, we'll get together, we'll, you know, let's see if, you know, we can make this work. So the Mishnah says that's okay. That's fine. So, and Gemara is going to explain the reason is because he's not acting as a sole entity, he's acting as a Beis Din. And as such, it will not be a personal reflection or a questionable ethical conduct on his part because he wasn't acting as an individual, he was acting as a member of Beis Din. Okay, we'll discuss more of that in just a moment. Ha'itira Yisena. So the Gemara says, if, let's say, he was matir, meaning he allowed the neder to be released. And then afterwards, her husband died or the husband divorced her. So then that's okay. But my skin and elam, abachad chami mati matir, v'amar, Rebbe Chaber, Avinamar, v'amar, and Tana Taras Nadar B'Shlosha. The Gemara over here just has a technical question, and that is, can one person be matir neder? The Gemara quotes a brisa. The brisa says you need three. V'ela b'talasa. So the Gemara says, okay, so he's part of three. The Gemara says, if he's part of three, you know what that is? That's a Beis Din. And the end of the Mishnah just got done teaching us that if you're a member of Beis Din, so then you're not acting as a sole entity, and you can be you can have a personal involvement with one of the, I'll say, defendants, but, you know, in other words, one of the principal participants in the court proceeding. Okay, so it's really a technical question. Can you be matir neder with just one talmid chacham? And the answer is going to be yes, you can. The Gemara says yes, you can. An individual who is a mumcha, an expert, knows nedarim, knows mesechta nedarim, knows hilchos nedarim. So such an individual can serve as a one man. I don't even know if to call him a Beis Din. But basically can act on his own in terms of releasing a woman from a neder. If you, if the three are not that educated, what we would call in halacha a yoto, so then they would need three in order to form a Beis Din in order to be matir neder. Okay, reference us back to Rosh Hashanah, you know, right on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so all of us made up a Beis Din. Okay, good. Do we know Hilchos Nedarim so well? No. Do we know Masechta Nedarim so well? Also no. But in other words, but we act as a Beis Din. But if for one individual, he has to know the halachas very well. Good. So, Miyano Shechelsa, continuing in the Gemara. If Miner Chalitza is performed by a woman in front of a Beis Din, So after the Beis Din court is adjourned, so then one of the members of the Beis Din can go over to her and say, okay, I'd be interested. However he wants to broach the topic. So Miano Shechosa, time of the Beis Din, Habitray, Lo. So the Gemara says, and the reason why is because he's a member of Beis Din. And again now, he's not acting as an individual, he's acting as an institution. So the Gemara says, Maisha mehadanan, eidem achasim amastei mekach, va'aget isha, lo chashu chachamim medavar zeh. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's talk about two scenarios. Let's say you have witnesses. Now witnesses come in a pair. So that means now we're not talking about three anymore, we're talking about two. And let's say that they sign on a purchase. Okay, a simple purchase of property. Two witnesses are signing on the document that says that the field was actually sold, or Gerisha. Or let's say you have a woman who's getting a divorce. A woman has to get divorced in front of two. So now you have these two witnesses. Lo chashu chachamim davrezeh. The chachamim were not suspicious of such a matter. Meaning, let's say after they did their witness work, so then at a later point in time, in the case of the field, they want to buy the field. Can't you make the argument that they are not biased? I'm sorry, they are not objective and that they are biased? Gemara says, no, you're not going to make that argument. I mean, that's exactly the point. No, just because they were witnesses to the original purchase doesn't disqualify them from being involved in any future transaction with this field. Similarly, in the case of witnesses to a get, just because they were witnesses to a get does not mean that they are no longer disqualified in the future to marry this woman. And the reason why, ostensibly, is because they are witnesses, a pair of two. But the Gemara said, but in the Mishnah, in order to become, to lose your personal interest, you have to be a group of three, meaning a group of Beis Din. So the Gemara is a little bit bothered by this. So the Gemara says, "Higufa kamashmalan lafuki miman damer mian bifnei shnayim kamashmalan mian begimel." So the Gemara says, "No, there is no problem in both cases. In the case of Aiden, which are two, in the case of mian, which is three, you're not an individual. You're acting as a collective, either a collective of two witnesses or a collective of a Beis Din. In both cases, you can have an interest in whatever the case was about after the fact. That's not a problem. The only point the Mishnah was making is that mian has to be done in front of three judges. Because we're going to see later on in the Masechta, there is an opinion that says that mian can be done in front of two. So all our Mishnah is doing is teaching us that you need three. Okay. Ibai lahu. Kanas mahu shiyotzi. Okay. And now the Gemara is bothered by the following. We have now discussed a number of scenarios in which it would be inappropriate for a man to marry a woman because it would then question whether or not his actions that he did prior were self-serving or not self-serving. So, for example, a guy who delivered a get, right? Rashi. I'm just doing Rashi, right? The second to last Rashi on the Amud. Kanas Moshe Yotzi. Rashi writes a chacham amevi get. So the person who delivered the get. The chacham that prohibited a woman to her husband. In other words, he didn't prohibit her. He wouldn't release her neder. He felt like there was no reason, no good cause to release her neder. So in both of those circumstances, so again, if he were to marry her afterwards, that would call into question whether or not he was doing it because he objectively felt that what he was doing was correct, or maybe he was doing it out of self-interest. Okay. So the Gemara says, simple question now, good. We know what the Mishnah says, he should not marry her. But what if he did? No, that's our next topic of discussion. Ibai Luhu, we're towards the bottom of Chav Hei Amid Beis. Question is, Kanas Moshe Yotzi, Rav Kahana Amar Kanas Motzi, Rav Ashi Amar Kanas Nen Motzi. Okay, so Machlokas Amarayim. Tenilu Rav Zuti Debe Rav Papi Kedivre Amar Kanas Nen Motzi. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, that is that if he marries her, so enamotzi, the marriage is sustained. He does not, Beis Din will not come in and dissolve that marriage and force a get. Amalei Rabban LaRavashi Gemara Svara. So the Chacham said to Ravashi, is that based on a tradition? Meaning, do you know this is correct because you've heard it from a Rebbe or Svara? Or no, are you making an argument? And if you're making an argument, I can make a counter argument. Amalehu Masnisanhi. He says, somewhere in the middle. It's a Gemara and it's a Svara, meaning I'll show you a Mishnah, and after showing you the Mishnah, I'll deduce from the Mishnah, and based on my deduction, you'll see I'm right. The Mishnah says, "Anitim mishevchem nishtachra me'avadas kochavim v'nizgayra avreza lo'ichnasim kanasem motzi." The Mishnah says, we saw this Mishnah already yesterday, that if a man had rumors and allegations with a, either a shivcha, or a non-Jewish woman, and they convert, either one of them, so he should marry her, because then that would only substantiate the rumors and the allegations. The im kanasem motzi, but the Mishnah says, but if he marries her, meaning he shouldn't, but if he does, so in motzi, so then he does not... he doesn't have to let her go. Basically, it's not going to force a get. So, Amma, what do you see? So that's a Mishnah. And now the deduction is as follows. Biranana lo mafkinan. Just because people are going to talk. In other words, did you hear about the guy who was rumored to have relations with this non-Jewish woman? And then she converted. And then he married her. And even though you're now going to become the subject of conversation, and remember, the Gemara says that was the whole problem. Meaning, you remember, the Gemara gave an explanation. Going back to yesterday's daf, what's the issue with all this? The issue with all this, said the Gemara, is that you're going to be the cause, the center of conversation. And you should avoid that. The Gemara says, okay, you should avoid it. But you didn't avoid it. You're not required to divorce a wife just because now you become the center of conversation. Hachanami b'ranan ala mafkinan. Same thing over here. Meaning, what's the problem with the Chacham marrying the woman where he was involved in the divorce, part of the cause of the divorce? So okay, so in other words, it's going to make for great conversation. Now I say great, by the way, I don't mean appropriate conversation, lashon hara, but in other words, but people will talk about it. So even though that's true, you hear about the chacham who wouldn't release his wife and was therefore get a divorce, and he married her. Can you believe it? Okay, that's right. People talk like that. So even though that's true, but Bernan Alamavkinan, but we're not going to, the Beis Din is not going to force somebody to divorce his wife just because he became the center of attention. Okay. So far, so good. We're almost done. Almost done with this topic of this conversation. It's a very interesting discussion in the Gemara over here regarding the propriety or the impropriety of somebody marrying a woman where it will spurn some conversation amongst the members of the community. The Gemara continues, V'chulam shayulam nashim umesu, mutarsli nasilahem. Let's say in all these circumstances, meaning the chacham, the one who's bringing a get, the one who's testifying about a married woman, in all these cases where the Mishnah says he should marry her, but now the Mishnah over here says there is a scenario where it would be okay, and that would be if they had a wife. If they had a wife and their wife died, mutarsli nasilahem. So then they're allowed to marry these women, and it will not spurn the same kind of conversation. And ostensibly the reason why, just a simple pshat in the Mishnah, I think it's a simple pshat, the simple reason why is because it's understandable. Meaning, he was married, his wife died, so now he's looking for a new spouse. It's true that he did have some involvement with this woman and her divorce, but if you look at the circumstances, you'll see that it's not, I mean, again, if you want to be cynical, you could look into it and you could find, you know, right, maybe he was just waiting for this opportunity. Okay, you could be cynical, but, you know, a person with not too much cynicism, we'll look at that and say, yeah, I think it's okay. Meaning, he was married, his wife died, the whole thing is understandable. So, v'kulam shenisu la'achem v'nisgarsho shenitamo mutar sinasi lahem. Another time, another occasion would be okay for these men to marry these women where he had some involvement with the divorce is, let's say, after the involvement, he married another woman, and then he either death or divorce. And also, says the Mishnah, just to punctuate this discussion, that she would be permitted to his son or to his brother. Meaning, just because he was involved, and just because the Chachamim said that he can't marry her, because it'll spurn conversation, but we won't extend that cynicism to either his child or his brother. They're allowed to marry the woman. And again, the overly cynical person will say, well, he did that only so that she can marry his son, or he did that only so that she can marry his brother. Okay, the overly cynical person will say that. But the Mishnah says is that it's not, that's not a that's not going to be a concern. Meisu nisgar shulam. So the Gemara makes a very simple deek in the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says is that if they had other wives, so and the wives died, so then he can marry the woman where he was the woman that he was involved in her divorce. So the Gemara just makes a simple deal, and that is the first Mishnah is dealing with a scenario where his wife died, but not if he divorced his wife. So Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi V'Atanya Afilu Nisgarshu. So the Gemara says, now, by the way, before we go on to the Gemara, it makes sense. Meaning, if his wife died, so then the majority of people are going to be understandable. His wife died. He didn't want that. And now he's looking for another spouse. And okay, so he can marry this woman, even though in the past he had some involvement with her divorce. Fine. But if he divorces his wife, so the skeptics are, you know, the skeptics will have a healthy amount of skepticism. Yeah, he divorced his wife, so he can marry that wife, that woman. Okay. So the Gemara, so on a Svara standpoint, one can easily understand the distinction between what if his wife died versus what if he divorces his wife. The problem is that we have a Brisa, and the Brisa says, V'atanya, I feel in his garshu. So the Brisa says, even if he divorced his wife, so he'd be allowed to marry the woman, that woman that he was involved in her divorce. So the Gemara says, Lokasha adave ketata adalahave ketata. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer. Certainly one where, just from a legal standpoint, it's kind of hard to put your legal finger on this scenario. But the Gemara says, well, it depends if they were fighting, if they were not fighting. So the Gemara says, if there was already fighting, so then you understand that he didn't divorce her because of this other woman. In other words, they were already fighting. But the Gemara says, but if they weren't fighting and he divorced her, so well, that's very suspicious. Okay. So the Gemara says, or maybe they weren't fighting. The Gemara says another possible distinction. Really there was no fighting, and the scenario where the Mishnah said, well, Mishnah doesn't say it, but the deacon in the Mishnah is that if he divorces his wife, he cannot marry that previous woman. So depends who started the fighting. So Rashi explains. So if he's the one who's starting the fighting, so then obviously he's doing it in order to motivate a divorce, and so that he can marry this other woman. But if she's the one who's starting the fighting, so then so it's her. I'm going to speak in such an oversimplification. It's her fault, and because it's her fault, so now he would be allowed to marry this woman where he was involved in this other woman's divorce. Again, from a legal standpoint, really hard to for a Beis Din, for a judge, for a chacham, for a rabbi, to start saying, well, in this case it was her fault, so therefore he can. You know, it's hard to understand how this can be objectified. But okay, that's just, you know, that's my legal mind speaking. Which, when we're learning Gemara, that's usually what I have on. V'chulan shenisu. Okay, the Mishnah says in all these cases, if they get married, meaning, if the man gets married and then divorces or his wife died, then he can go back to the woman that where he was in, the previous woman where he was involved in her divorce. Kasa kadacha misa misa v'gershin agershin. So, Menema Masisim Delo Karebi. The Gemara touches on a topic which we're going to see a couple of times here in Yevamos, and we see it throughout Chas, and that is the opinion of Rebbe. How many times does it take to make a chazaka? So the answer generally is three. Three, you know, you say three, you're in good shape. If you said two, you're not going to be that off. The opinion of Rebbe is that a chazaka is made by two. Okay. So if a woman is, the term that's used is black widow. Okay, she killed not only one husband, she killed two husbands. According to Rebbe, chazaka. Rebbe would tell the male population, don't marry her. She already killed two husbands. Now, when I say killed, we're not, in other words, not, we're not talking about gunshots. We're talking about she married them and they died. So according to Rebbe, that's a chazaka. Okay, she's what the term we're going to use later on in the Masechta is katlanit. Right, she causes death. So the Gemara says, according to Rebbe, that's a chazaka. So now the Gemara just wonders over here, what just happened? So what just happened was is that the woman went through a marriage, then she became a widow, and now she remarried and then became a widow again. So now we're talking about a woman who is, you know, who is a widow two times over. According to Rabbi, chazaka, she's a karbanis. So the Gemara says, "De'id karebi amar betrays zimnei havechazaka." So lo misa gerushin vegerushin amisa. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a scenario where in the case of where her original husband died, the second time the marriage was severed was a divorce, or when the original marriage severed a divorce, the second husband, the second time she became free was through death. In other words, basically, we'll say that it's not two consecutive deaths which allowed her to remarry, but it was either divorce or death, or death and divorce. Okay, which is not a chazaka. A chazaka only comes about where she's either divorced twice over. That's a chazaka, even though I know divorce is strange because there are two participants in a divorce, or two deaths. Two deaths also is going to be a chazaka, at least according to Rebbe. Okay. Continuing. V'kula matoros levnei malachayim. Maishlami hadidnan. Hanita min ha'isha asr bi'ima uvavita uvachota. The Gemara here quotes a braisa. And the braisa says a man is suspected to have relations with a woman. Not only can he not marry this woman, as we've already established, but he can't marry her mother, her daughter, her sister. And meanwhile, when a man is involved in suspicious activity, let's say it like that. When a man is involved in suspicious activity, meaning he was involved in her divorce, either he was a member of Beis Din, or he was a deliverer of the get, any one of the scenarios that we described earlier, so he can't marry her, but he can marry any one of her relatives. So it's a good question. Meaning, she can marry his brother, his son. Okay, so now the discrepancy is as follows. In the case where he's prohibited from marrying her, so he can't marry neither her nor her mother. In other words, he can't marry any of her siblings as well, any of her relatives, her close relatives. Meanwhile, we go in the other direction. She can marry his brother, why? So the Gemara says, Nishay Lagabi Nishay Shechichan, the Azlan Gavra Lagabi, the Azlan, Gavra Lagabi Gavra, Lo Shechichan. Answer number one of the Gemara. Look, a man is purported to have an adulterous affair with a woman. Okay? He then marries her mother. Women visit each other all the time. So he's going to be put now in a situation where all too often he's going to be meeting with the woman that he had an adulterous affair with. Or, again, alleged to have an adulterous affair with. That's, in other words, he's going to put himself in a terrible situation. However, men don't visit each other as frequently. So just because there's suspicion or it's suspicious activity between a woman and a particular man, she can marry his son, his brother, et cetera, because that doesn't mean there are going to be many opportunities where she's going to be together with the suspicious men. Men don't visit each other as much. That's one answer of the Gemara. Another answer of the Gemara, Inami, Neshei de lo asan, Shchivasan ha'adad, de lo kapti ha'adad, de gavra de asran, Shchivasan ha'adad, de kapti ha'adad. So the Gemara says, well, when it comes to men, so men aren't women don't prohibit one another, meaning a man is with one woman, a man is not going to be prohibited from his wife. But on the other hand, a woman who is with another man other than her husband, obviously that makes that's adultery. So the Gemara says that's another reason why we can explain the discrepancy. So ihachi aviv nami. So the Gemara says, just as a curiosity, why didn't the Mishnah also mention that? Meaning, what did the Mishnah mention? That if a man has some involvement with a woman's divorce, so she can't marry him, but she can marry, what did the Mishnah say? Her son, her brother. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that? So it is curious. So lo mi bai kamar. So the Gemara says, no, that's just the style. Lo mi bai aviv de buzzes b'nei minei, aval b'no de la buzzes aviv minei, emalo kamash malan. So the Gemara says, look, it goes without saying that if she would have married his father, meaning the man who has had involvement with her divorce, she would have married his father, so there, I mean, it's his father. He certainly would not be involved in any inappropriate activity with this woman, considering that it's his father. But his son, in other words, he doesn't have as much reverence and awe for his son as he does for his father. There's more concern that he will that more suspicion will be elevated if it's his son over that if it's his father. So all the Mishnah is doing is just simply giving us the bigger Chiddush. Meaning, it goes without saying that if it's his father, so that's for sure, okay, and anyway, he has so much reverence and awe for his father, that, I mean, no one's going to suspect anything. But his son, less reverence, less awe, so there is more grounds for suspicion, so the Mishnah is just giving us a bigger Chiddush. Hajalach Kesar Eshes Achiv, that's the end of the second parak of the Masechta. Just the quick summary part. So we saw now in the Mishnah, in the Mishnayos, that there are a number of scenarios. We started this discussion going all the way back to Chavdal Amid Beis, and the last two dapim of the second parak deal with a number of scenarios where, because of suspicious behavior and because you are going to become the center of conversation, so therefore there are certain things which you should avoid. And just to put it simply, if you're involved in a woman's divorce, either because you're a deliverer of the get, because you're a part of the Beis, and because you're a witness, so in any one of those scenarios, so you cannot marry her. And then the last mission that we just did pointed out that there are a number of loopholes within that rule, which would be scenarios where you would be allowed to marry her. But again, all this is because you should really conduct yourself in a way where you're going to be above any type of center of attention. Good. Starting now, the third perek of the Masechta, when Chav Vav Amud Aleph, we're starting the third perek. And the third parak has a construct that we've seen already a number of times. Let's see it again. Arba achin shnei mehem nisnesum shtei achas. We have four brothers. Of the four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters. Umeisor anisun es ha'achayos. And so let's say two of those brothers died, the two who are married. And so now there are two surviving brothers who are looking at two yevamas. Okay, if you have a chart, it's great. If you have one of the books that help you, it's great. Okay, now, let's think about this for a moment outside, and then we'll go on in the Mishnah. So now, of these two surviving brothers, so there's a Zika, obviously. Meaning, these two women are widows. We're obviously assuming that these women died without children. So these women now have a Zika to the two surviving brothers. Okay, now, they are not coming from one man. They're coming from two separate men. So therefore, they are two separate Zikas. Why not have one of the surviving brothers marry one of the sisters, and the other surviving brother married the other sister? Obviously, we can't have one surviving brother married both sisters. That's obviously out of the question. Man can marry two sisters. But in this scenario, because there are two surviving brothers, so I have one marry one sister, one marry the other sister. Sounds good, right? Says the Mishnah, no. That's not going to happen. Hari Elu, now we're back in the Mishnah. Hari Elu, chotzos v'lo mesyamos. The Mishnah says, chalitza not yibum. Why not yibum? Simple question. So there, we're going to give two explanations. Now, I'm foreshadowing the Gemara. I'm basically saying over the Gemara, but let me say it over now so that hopefully we'll hear it now, we'll hear it later, you know, and we'll digest this information well. Why can't have one brother do Yibam, the other brother do Yibam? It sounds pretty reasonable. And the reason why is either A, because we subscribe to the viewpoint of Yesh Zika, that there is a Zika. Now, if there's a Zika, what does that mean? It means then that both of these women are connected to each of the brothers. So let's look at life from one of the surviving brothers, even though there are two. So from one of the surviving brothers now, both of these women have a Zika to him, even though there's another surviving brother as well. But from one brother's perspective, each one has a Zika to him. And they're sisters. So what does that mean? That means then that even if he marries one, the other one also has a Zika to him. Either one he marries is Achos Zikukaso, the sister of somebody who's bound to him. That binding, that Zika between a man and his sister-in-law is a quasi-marriage. And we know that you can't be married to two sisters, so therefore in this particular scenario, he can't do Yibam because whichever one he does Yibam to is going to be the sister of someone who is bonded to him. It's what's called Achos Zikukaso. So that's one reason, one explanation in terms of why it is that he can't do Yibam. What's another explanation? Let's assume we work with the assumption of Ein Zika. You remember that was a major machlokas that we saw early in the Masechta, whether there is or there isn't a Zika. Right, Daf Yutes, Seh Yuches. Okay, let's say that we hold Ein Zika. So why not? So if there's no Zika, So then let's go back to our original question. Have one surviving brother marry one of the sisters, one of the widows, and the other one marry the other one. So to that, the Gemara is going to give a second explanation, which is, Ein mevatlin mitzvah yibum. We don't want to neglect the mitzvah of yibum. Okay, now, why? Where's the neglect? One brother will do yibum, and the other brother will do yibum. The neglect will come about in the following scenario. Let's say one of the surviving brothers does yibum with one of the sisters. Okay. And then let's say the other brother dies. Now, I know we're generally not worried about that. But what if one of the other brothers died? Now, if the other brother dies, so now here you have a woman who had a Zika. Well, I was poor choice of words, because we're working right now with the assumption of Ein Zika. We had a woman who had a mitzvah of Yibum, that's a better way to say it, and now what happens? Nobody could do the mitzvah of Yibum. Well, the other surviving brother no longer survived. He died. So he's out of the picture. And the first brother, meaning the original surviving brother, well, he's already married to her sister. So he can't do the mitzvah of Yibum with her. So because the second brother died, the second surviving brother died, so now you're going to have a woman who went without Yibum or Chalitza. So therefore, have both of the brothers do Chalitza, because even if in the event that one of the brothers die, the original brother, or I should say the first surviving brother, can do Chalitza to this woman. Okay. That's a lot to think about. Meaning in terms of why it is that we're not gonna have both of the brothers do Yibum, because we're afraid that one of the women is gonna get neglected from the mitzvah of Yibum if the other brother dies. Now I know that's a big if.
But she's left in limbo or
No, she's not left in limbo. Meaning she'll go free. Meaning because the only surviving brother now can't do Yibum, can't do Chalitza. That means that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. All we did is that it's a lost opportunity. Lost. We had a mitzvah of Yibum, and no, there's no longer a mitzvah. That's all. Meaning it's a lost opportunity of the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Im kidmu v'kinsu yotziu. Now, what if they do marry? Meaning, again, we're going back to the original case of the two surviving brothers. Again, it's 4 and 2. Two of the brothers married to two sisters, those two brothers died. They are two surviving brothers. Now, what did the Mishnah say? They should do Chalitza. What if they do Yibum? So, no good. They violated Achos Zikukaso. Now, even though it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, but the Chachamim wanted to put a little teeth in it, so therefore they have to divorce these women. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Yekayim, Rabbi Silo, Rabbi Yotziu. And Rabbi Eliezer says this is the subject of Machlokes between Rabbi Shammai and Rabbi Silo. And oh, by the way, Rabbi Silo is of the opinion Yotziu that they're going to have to divorce. So it's the same point. It's just that he according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a Machlokes. But I say it's the same point because we go like Rabbi Silo. So now let's again start with the same construct. It's 4 and 2. Four brothers, two of them married two sisters. Those two brothers died. There are two surviving brothers. Let's say if of these two sisters, one of them is an erva to one of the surviving brothers. Okay? Asar ba umutar ba achota. That actually is great. Okay, great's a strong word. But that's actually great. Because now, to him, one of these sisters now is off limits because she's an erva to him. And we can construct, and we did this back on Daf Tes, where we can construct a whole series of different family patterns where she would be an erva to him, either his daughter, his right, correct. In other words, all the cases, all the 15 cases that we did in the first Mishnah. So to him now, one of the sisters is off limits, which means then that there's no Zika between him and his erva, which now means that for the other sister, he could do the mitzvah of Yibam, perfect. But that doesn't help the other surviving brother, because to him there's a Zika to both, and because there's a Zika to both, so therefore he's still prohibited from doing Yibam, and therefore the only thing he could do is Chalitza to the one remaining sister. Isser mitzvah v'isser kedusha. What if the nature of the prohibition between one of the widows and one of the surviving brothers is a law in the Torah, or an Issur D'Rabbanan? So there, that doesn't break the Zika. As we've discussed since day one of the Masechta, the only thing that will break the Zika is only going to be an Erva. But if it's an Isser Lav or it's an Isser Derabanan, that won't break the Zika. So therefore, back to the original point, Chalos is full of Messiah Bemis. So now the two surviving brothers have to do Chalitza, but not Yibam. And then the Mishnah constructs an elaborate scenario, which is, what if one of the surviving brothers has an erva relationship to one of the widows, and the other surviving brother has an erva relationship to the other widow? So here, not only is it great, it's perfect. I mean, we're talking about perfection in such a scenario, but in this context, perfect. Because now, from one brother's perspective, one woman is an erva, one sister is an erva, so the other sister now is totally permitted to him. And from the other brother's perspective, fine. There's only one sister available to him. So now each one of them would be performing the mitzvah of Yibam with one of the sisters. Now, by the way, just in case you're not sure that this case is as complicated as one can imagine, you go back to Daf Tesam at Beis, and you remember that the Gemara over there said, I can construct this scenario with any one of the 15 Arayas. Now, that was the Gemara statement over there. Now, if you recall, Rashi over there actually takes this case by case. Right? You really want to learn on Shabbos? So you go back to the Rashi, and Daf Tesam at Beis, and Rashi over there goes case by case how we can construct this scenario with any one of the 15 Arayos mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta. And here now we have an explanation of the famous line. I say famous. I mean, you know, back then, everyone knew this line. Achosi, your sister, when she's your sister-in-law, you can do chalitza or yibam. Right? What? Your sister-in-law? Meaning, in this scenario that we just painted, of the four brothers, two of them marrying two sisters, the two brothers die, the two surviving brothers, one sister is an erva to one of the brothers, one's the other sister is an erva to the other brother. So great. So one brother now could do mitzvah of yibam to the non-erva, the other brother could do mitzvah of the yibam to the non-erva, and Shalma Yisrael, and that would be a scenario where, even though they're sisters, but you can marry one of the sisters. Simple, right? Straightforward, right?
That's the final.
I mean, you know, in this construct, which, you know, I back then, sisters marrying brothers, I guess, was much more popular.
There's no lost opportunity, even if one of the brothers dies,
if you hold Yezika, so right, correct. Let me answer your question more directly. Right, because to each one of the brothers, only one of the women is available. Okay. At this juncture, it doesn't matter, right? That's what Danny was asking. In other words, because there's only one woman available to each of the brothers. Perfect. Shma mina yesh zika. The Gemara points out, look at the first case of the Mishnah. Your logical conclusion is, there's zika. Sure. Because why is it that, again, the first case of the Mishnah, four brothers, two of them marrying two sisters, the two brothers who are married died. Two surviving brothers, two widows. What did the Mishnah say? They got to do chalitza. They can't do yibam. Why not? So the Gemara's assumption is, again, I went over this outside, but now we'll see this inside. The Gemara's assumption is because our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint that there is a Zika. And because there's a Zika, each one of these women is now achos zikukaso. It's your sister of the zikuka. And that's why you can't do yibam to either one of them. That's why you have to do chalitza. The Gemara says, because think about it. These two women are coming from two different men. Let one of the surviving brothers marry one woman. The other surviving brother will marry the other. And great. So, the only preventative is because there's a Zika. Good. To which the Gemara says, that's not the only way to explain the Mishnah. There's another way to explain the Mishnah. Which again, I mentioned already back when we did the Mishnah, but let's see it inside. La'ola me'melcha ein zika. Now, we could support the viewpoint of ein zika. The problem is that if we have one of the brothers doing yibam, then the other sister may end up never having chalitza yibam done. Why not? Because when one brother does yibam, then maybe, and again, it's a concern which we're not normally concerned about, but maybe ma'asidach, the other brother's going to die. V'kamavata mitzvah yivamim, and you've neglected the mitzvah of yibam. You remember Tosfos back earlier in the Masechta asked a very simple question. We're not worried about people dying. All right? That's generally speaking our position in life, meaning, of course, we're all going to die, but sorry. Sad thought, but it's true. And so, but that's not the way we, that's not the way we conduct our life. We don't halachically worry about the death of people. Remember the first Mishnah on Yuma? Right, the Kohen Gadol. What if his wife dies? So, okay, that's not how we operate life. We don't operate with those assumptions. So why over here are we worried? So Tosfos was bothered by that. Tosfos says, well, short-term or long-term. Meaning, if it's a short-term, like Yom Kippur, which is one day, so then no. But here it's long-term. Because remember, Yibum Chalitza can only be done 3 months post-mortem. We're actually going to talk about that shortly in the Masechta. We haven't seen that yet. But at least there's a three-month waiting period. So once we're now moving to a more long-term perspective, so Tosfos says at that point we're going to be worried about death. Right? That's Tosfos early in the Masechta.
And two chalitzas is better than one yibum.
And remember, we did this math earlier, but that's a correct conclusion, and it's a strange conclusion, but it's correct. Two chalitzas is better than one yibum. Because chalitza is yibum. Right. Chalitza is a... Right, I know this is a big question that the Gemara doesn't address straight out, but it's a popular shir. Is chalitza a part of the mitzvah of Yibam, or is it a matir? Is it just a way of getting out of the mitzvah? Okay, based on what we're saying right now, chalitza is two chalitzas is better than one Yibam. Yes?
Is it a banan, right?
No, in other words, not necessarily.
The
iser of achos zekukaso is a din derabanan. If you hold yeshika, I mean, we've done versions of this conversation earlier. It's a great discussion. If you hold yeshika, to what degree does that mean yeshika? Good.
It could be midrasha and people don't accept it.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. That's an excellent point. Okay, let's go. Let's go on. So, Ademiyah Mechal Ma'esidach V'kamavalta Mitzvah Shivam I'achit Lasanami. The Gemara says, look, if the whole point of the Mishnah was just to tell me, don't neglect the Mitzvah of Yibam, don't put yourself in a position where the Mitzvah of Yibam is gonna just let slip away. So the Gemara says, you didn't need the case of four brothers. Meaning, if the whole point of the Mishnah was to teach us Yezika, perfect. So that's why I need the case of the four brothers. Because now, even though it could have been that one brother can marry one of the widows, but Yezika. Okay, great. But if the whole point of the Mishnah is, I don't want to let the mitzvah of Yibam slip away, so then all you need was three brothers in the Mishnah. Right? Well, think about it. I'm about to read further in the Gemara. It's Ihachi Tlasanami. The Gemara doesn't expound. Sorry, Rashi expounds. I'll say Rashi outside. Because, let's say, three brothers. Two of those brothers are married to two of the sisters. The two brothers die. Okay, so now, again, well in terms of not letting the mitzvah fall away, so do chalitza to both of the women. Right? You could have argued, I'll do yibum to one, I'll do chalitza to the other. No, because maybe after you do yibum to one, maybe you're going to die. And we'll lose the mitzvah of yibum chalitza altogether. So if the whole point of the Mishnah was, don't let the mitzvah slip away, so then do a construct of 3 and 2. You don't need to do 4 and 2. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, no. Even if we want to explain the Mishnah, not as a Yeshika Mishnah, but as an Ein Zika Mishnah, still the case of 4 and 2 is a better Mishnah. Why? Because you couldn't make the argument, the mitzvah is not going anywhere. Meaning one brother will do yibum to one of the wives, one of the widows. The other brother will do mitzvah to the other yibum, the other widow. We're good, right? We're good. So the Gemara says, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah, that we're worried about Misa. Avadala, Misa lo chemish kamash malan. Ihachi, chemish anami, lemisa detrei lo chayshina. So now the Gemara says, we're now on the top of Chavavam and Beis. So the Gemara says, okay, what if there are five surviving brothers? What if there are five brothers, two brothers married to two sisters, and now three surviving brothers? So the Gemara says, in such a scenario, we can allow Yibam to be done. Because, in order for us to lose the mitzvah of Yibam, we're going to need the death of two brothers. That's already too much. That's too much, that's too far out there, that's too far of a chashash that we're not concerned with. Okay, we finished the second paragraph of the Masechta today. A lot of interesting discussions over there, which we already reviewed. And now we started today the third parak of the Masechta, and a Mishnah describing four brothers, two of them marrying two sisters, them dying, and the question, the one of the basic questions that we see again and again in our Masechta, whether there is or there is not a Zika, and you can present our Mishnah in both of those thoughts.